Good evening. You're listening to Skip Intro with Kelvin Yee, Ian McNally, Bahi Yusuf, and Julian Yap. Today, we're talking about Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Dora, I just want you to have a good first day. If I don't talk to you, don't take it personal, okay? We're all just trying to survive. High school's a horrible nightmare.
Excuse me? I'm kind of stuck.
We're on to something big, Dora.
An ancient city of gold.
This is our chance. We're gonna break some rules.
Oh, look. Dora brought a knife, everybody.
We're gonna die out here.
There's no need to overreact.
Ah, cut it off!
It's a jungle puzzle.
Oops. That's a real crossbow.
Honey, it's a real crossbow, yep.
What adventure is Dora on this time?
Well, for me, the whole thing's an adventure because I'm too old to watch Dora.
I don't know anything about it.
I can just about squeeze by on the fact that I could watch the Teletubbies when I was very, very tired and needed a little break from the world. But that was that's my kids' TV knowledge cuts off. So someone's got to explain to me what the original show is.
Let's turn the mic on to Julian.
Yeah.
Actually, me and Kelvin were talking about this. We are both of the same age where we babysat kids that watch Dora.
Sure. You didn't just watch it for your own enjoyment.
Oh, no, for sure. I watched it in the kind of like, oh, I'm 15 years old and it's 1 a.m. because I don't want to go to school tomorrow. Oh no, what's on TV? It's Dora the Explorer.
Yep, that's exactly how it is.
And it's, okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, Dora is a child. So when you're watching the show, it's a video game and she takes you on an adventure. And as always, you know, like a TV show, there's a goal at the end of this adventure. So you have to get to the marketplace. Mm. And along the way, you have to go over the mountain, cross the river, and down the
valley,
sure. And there's, you know, she has a backpack with a mouth. And there's
horrifying.
A map.
Horrifying.
Yeah, and a map who has his own map song. And
backpack also has a song.
Backpack has a song. She has this monkey friend called Boots. She has to outrun this like fox called Swiper.
That always tries to get in her way towards a goal.
With the little song thing, Swiper knows swiping. And when they get to the end, they sing a little song. And along the way, it's an opportunity to expose kids, I guess, who wouldn't naturally have, you know, Spanish in their lives. It was the first time I had any sort of access to Spanish words.
Because she talked to the audience, right? She broke the fourth wall all the time. And like there was call and response stuff as well, right?
Yeah, the entire show is call and response. It's such a wild thing to think about watching because there's almost maybe 20% of actual movement in the show. Mm. Because the rest is just Dora looking at you face on. And for like...
sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Creepy. Yeah, for like 5 seconds. And she waits for you. It has a counter timing down. Mm. And she waits for you to make the decision.
Mm. It's analog Bandersnatch.
Yeah, it's basically Bandersnatch, but you can't actually play.
So, but the kids don't know that.
No one knows that. It's so fun.
But whatever answer you give her, whatever you yell at the TV, she'll say it's a good answer.
Yeah.
So in this one, in this movie, she is a decade older. She is 16. So this movie is essentially about Dora moving from her lifelong home in the jungle, and moving to a city as her parents try to find this gold-filled city in Peru called Parapata.
Yeah. It's basically Dora explores teenage angst.
Not really.
She had no angst, though, in this movie.
That was my favorite part, I think. I think her positivity, and it was annoying for the people who are, you know, not Dora. Yeah. And, you know, your endless positivity. I'm sick of it. It was so refreshing.
Yeah. I love the construction they've come up with that, like, the TV show was her playing in her jungle with her cousin Diego. Mm, so, like, they show a little bit of what it looks like with the map and the backpack talking and them driving around in a little tiny Jeep. And then it shows them sitting in a cardboard Jeep and just their mother coming, come on, time to go, kids.
Yeah.
And I really love that was the kind of conceit.
That was the conceit. Yeah, that was great.
And the fact that she's grown up, it's been 10 years, but she's still in the jungle. She has a GoPro now, so I'm not sure whether she's a YouTube star or not, but she still seems to be just like she talks to herself, she sings to herself. The relentless positivity, I think we'll get to later, but just the idea of this like YouTube star without YouTube living on her own in a jungle in her head with her own little world, and then bringing that to the city is one thing, but then bringing it back to the jungle, I think worked really, really well in that you get to see her as a fish out of water, but she remains the fish. Mm. She doesn't change, like what you said earlier. I like that.
Yeah.
And also, then you get to see her back in her element and taking care of business.
Yeah, and I think that was what was interesting. Again, I'm like Ian, I have no affinity, knowledge of this character at all, other than that she asks questions at the screen and you're supposed to scream at it, but which I do when I watch football. But anyway, the idea that, you're right, they leave, she leaves, and I was really worried that it was going to be that movie, that she was going to be Dora in the big city, right?
In the urban jungle.
George in the jungle when he moved to...
And I don't think I was going to enjoy that, but when they went back, I was like, yeah, cool. This is like Dora's an element. Her yo-yo shows up. She's, you know, swinging on vines. She gets the job done. And I really enjoyed that part of it. I didn't really like the first part, the whole trying to fit in and kids and bullying in school. Yeah. I've seen it so many times in
but
movies.
But it didn't last as long as it could
have. It didn't last. Yeah, that was really nicely played out.
And if anything, it's going to touch on some kind of sad thing. You know, someone who doesn't actually know how to be friends with other people, with anyone but a monkey called Boots. Mm. And like... being thrown into this new environment, meeting kids, not actually knowing how to relate to them, but then realizing that I don't know how to be anyone else but myself. Mm. And for any kid who's going to watch that, it's a bit, I mean, it's a bit hard-hitting. It's a bit, you know, it's not veiled in anything. But like anyone, any kid's going to get that.
Yeah.
I think those messages are really good. It's also just incredibly goofy, the whole movie. Like I found it a little uneven. I mean, we talked about the maybe for you, but here the school bit wasn't working so well. Mm. But like overall, there's moments where it's just like, you get that weird laugh that just escapes you involuntarily because something weird happened. But then there's other bits that just like kind of continue, like nothing really. I didn't love it. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure maybe it's, I don't have nostalgia for it. But there was moments where I was like, I can see where this is going, and I kind of like parts of that. But it's steering back off away from it's backing away from some of that super weirdness that is super good.
Mm. So I found that this movie really, you know, I wouldn't think I'd be saying this about Dora the Explorer, that it really does. Respect the source material. Right? It does reward curiosity. Yeah. It does reward optimism. And they managed to keep the main elements of the show within this movie. I found this to just be a very long, drawn out, very creative, slightly more in-depth version of a Dora the Explorer episode.
Mm.
You know, at the start, they start the same way. At the end, they sort of end the same way as a normal Dora the Explorer episode would. And, you know, I don't think I can give that away because the ending does surprise some people.
After the credits or...
No, just right before the credits. Right before the credits when it kind of turns into something of a High School Musical scene. So I think the good thing about this is that they didn't necessarily try to strive for any amounts of realism. So with Boots the Monkey specifically, if they had wanted to make it Lion King style, it doesn't as if it would have worked. So it is sort of a mix between, oh, well, this is a real situation. And there are parts of it where you just have to suspend your belief, right? Mm. And that's where you just have to let it take you. It is, in all its core elements, that it is just a kid's movie.
Yeah, I think it's a kid's movie, but I don't think adults will be tearing their hair out watching
it. No. I think this one, it will reward people who know the original.
Yeah.
Right? And I think if you've grown up watching it, you know, you've seen a couple episodes.
If you know it from the peripheral,
if
you're an adult and your kid watches it and you kind of see it from the corner of your eye, you'll get it.
Yeah, and I think you'll enjoy it as well. And I think, I mean, myself and Ian going into it pretty cold, I think it was okay. I think as Ian, I would have liked to have, they would have gone a little further.
Embrace the weird.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do like a gritty, realistic reboot of this, of Dora the Explorer, Tomb Raider type thing.
And if you're wondering, Swiper is in it and they don't explain why. And I thought that was
genius.
And
they just accept it.
Like just no explanation for why that's there.
Although there was one point, one of the characters going, why is that fox wearing a mask?
Yeah, who is he protecting his
anonymity from?
Yeah,
that was great.
They don't question that the fox is talking.
Yes. No, nobody said anything about that.
With the voice of Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, that was great. I, again, know nothing about the character. So when I saw that fox, I was like, wait, he's talking? And then other people are talking to him? Because for a moment, I was like, oh, maybe it's just in Dora's head. And then I was like, oh, maybe I don't know what it is anymore. It was because at one point, one of the villains turns to it and says, stop singing.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, you know him too? What is going, my mind is blown.
Tamara Morrison says, go get him, Swiper. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
They didn't have to do it. It was completely unnecessary, but it just makes it even better. This could have gone wrong so badly.
Yeah.
And so easily. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not that, definitely not.
We are talking about Dora and the Lost City of Gold. If you have any thoughts, you can send it to us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We are also on social media. We're at SkipIntroMY. More after this, BFM 89.9. Hello, it's Skip Intro with me, Kelvin Yee, Ian McNally, Bahi Yusuf, and Julian Yap. We are continuing our conversation about Dora and the Lost City of Gold. She carries a knife in this one. Also, she is much older. I want to make a slightly controversial statement. I just wonder if this movie might be this teen's generation's Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Ooh, you said it before we went in, and I think I was like, pfft. Silly Kelvin.
Mock me all you
no,
want.
No, I'll be honest. I was like, man, no way. And then I watched it going, yeah, this is going to be it. Like, there was so much action towards the second half of the film. And I want to see more of that. Like, if they do a second movie, I want the entire movie just that action, those action sequences.
But they do the thing. I think it must be in the contract when you sign up to do a movie in the jungle, you have to put a water slide in the film.
Sure.
Like, ever since the Goonies, there's always a reason for someone to fall down a water slide.
Yeah.
I think it's in Jumanji as well. Mm-hmm.
The water slide is such a Nickelodeon thing in the way that slime is. So I'm glad they put it in there.
It's an identity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I think I guess in some ways painfully agree with you, Kelvin. Yes, that was, it's a good shout for it. Yeah.
I think some of that was intentional because whoever the composer was, they were riffing hard on Raiders of the Lost Ark's soundtrack. Mm. There's music that when they're walking through sounds like they're getting ready to open the Ark of the Covenant. I really got that vibe a lot.
So I think this movie did well in terms of adapting a kid's show and turning it, I guess, and making it grow up with the audience. And I think that's what they're expecting people to watch and who's likely to watch it as well. It's changes that we've seen repeatedly, I think, in this year where, you know, we had a slightly more gritty, not really gritty, or more adult version of Pikachu with Detective Pikachu, where he says hell. And we also have Transformers where, you know, once just the, oh, robots versus robots, this is fun, but then turns out they are creations able to destroy a lot of things.
You weren't there, man. Transformers was real from the start.
That's true. So I just wonder, like, if for you guys, what might be the next thing you are looking forward to in terms of kids' stuff that is then made into movies that are more grown up?
Oof. This is basically what's happened when someone has grown up watching all of this and is finally of the age where they have the skills.
In a position of power.
Mm. Not position of power. They have the idea of, oh my God, let's make Dora 16 and let's make her hold a knife.
Yeah.
Mm. And they make it happen. So I'm not surprised if we're going to get a bunch of these. So before recording, we were saying how Invader Zim will be coming back soon. Rocko's Modern Life will be coming to Netflix really soon. This isn't new, obviously.
No, this is Hollywood. When you think about Star Wars was George Lucas doing the Flash Gordon series he used to watch as a kid, only he wanted them to be now dark and gritty.
Yeah. And then the counter to that would be when Ridley Scott saw Star Wars and then goes, I want to do a version of that, but it's just Freitas.
Yeah.
You know, and it does Alien. So that's what they do, right? Mm. But I think for me at least, Dora was a great example of how it's done right.
Yeah.
They don't dumb it down. They don't make it a 90-minute cartoon. It's not just an extended cartoon. There's a reason for this being live action. And it being live action, they then be able to sort of play up certain things like, when she turns to the camera and asks us how to say delicioso, and you just go, everybody in the movie just goes like, huh?
Except the fans who were laughing.
Who knew what was going on, because I didn't know what was going on. And then I got it with the father. Yeah. And the mother just going like, don't encourage her.
Let and also, she'll grow out of it.
She'll grow out of it.
And also they use this to impart some lessons that are great and modern takes, as opposed to just the same old rubbish about, you know, there is a little bit of being yourself and all that kind of stuff, but it is be yourself, but she doesn't have the like hang-ups that we usually end up getting in those kind of stories, and like the friendships feel real, and it's not like, oh, things change at the last minute, and all the lessons from this movie are pretty great, and don't touch yellow frogs.
Do you know what I just remembered is a live-action adaptation of a Nickelodeon show, The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Can you forget it again real quick?
You really want to forget that one.
And
right?
I do know that the creators will be bringing a new live action series to Netflix, which hopefully will be a bit better than the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I hate that man.
You ruined your childhood?
Yeah, he did.
How dare he, you know?
You know, if the movie, and I think if I'm getting my facts right, if the movie didn't exist, we might have been able to get another season of the cartoon series.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, so that movie
directly impacted you.
Yeah, yeah, it threw a spanner into so much of good content we could have had. And, you know, I don't think it's necessary for something to be live action all the time.
Yeah.
The follow-up, The Legend of Korra, was such a good series where it did grow up with its audiences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Korra did deal with a lot more adult issues, a lot issues that were a lot more painful and stuff that you would have to deal with as young adults. It addressed mental health, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not... And I think tying it back to Dora, it also did that very well. It properly grew the audience.
Yeah.
So the one cartoon animated series that I'd love to see as either feature length or just like live action series is Captain Planet.
Sorry.
Yeah, pulled it out of left field. Yeah,
is it College Humor who did the ones with Don Cheadle in Captain Planet makeup?
Oh, those are so fun.
Yeah.
Have you seen those, right?
I've seen those,
a raging jerk.
Yeah. Which I'm also okay with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I don't want to see a Seth Rogen Seth Rogen version of Captain Planet. I want to see like a proper Captain Planet.
You need the people who did The Tick to do Captain Planet.
Ooh, interesting.
Because The Tick is inherently like it's a comedic.
It's a little silly, but
it's a comedic thing anyway. Whereas I think Captain Planet was earnest to the max. I think a problem with doing that is that the villains from Captain Planet are way more tame than what we have in late stage capitalism 21st century.
Which is why I think it needs to be updated.
Yeah. Right?
I think you know, there's a social media-esque type tycoon who's also a villain. That'd be
like
great.
Because I think like Loot and Plunder, like he probably wouldn't go, he'd go out of business these days. He's not evil enough.
Not evil enough, yeah. That's true, yeah.
I know that that we have an adaptation of The Legends of the Hidden Temple coming up, and I'm super excited for that as someone who watched it every single night when I was a kid.
So I have no idea. This is a kid's game show, right?
Eight teams, and there's a big talking like cultural appropriation sort of Inca Mayan thing. And it gives you like challenges of what to do to win bits of the golden monkey. You know, you got to advance stages. It's very Dora, to be honest,
and it's quite fun. I remember watching a lot of it.
And the teams were so kind of iconic. There's like, you know, the blue barracudas, the silver, I don't even know, silver monkeys, orange monkeys, whatever. But I want to see that again. I don't know what kind of story it would be.
Mm. I don't know about seeing it as a movie, though. I'd love to see that come back as a new game show. Mm. But I don't know if I want to watch it as a movie.
I don't know if we have the capacity for a new game show anymore.
Mm.
But I know Disney is adapting their Jungle Cruise ride into a movie that has Dwayne Johnson in it. This is, you know, building off of like Disney's Golden Age and Nickelodeon's Golden Age. Dora comes from Nickelodeon's Golden Age of TV. Mm. Rugrats, you know, make a Rugrats movie, whatever. Make the babies talk.
Yeah, do The Lion King, but with babies.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
We're all doomed, as Tommy Pickles would say.
There are other kids' shows coming up that I think will be adapted to a live action that includes stuff like Recess, that also includes stuff like Clifford and the Big Red Dog.
Recess?
Yeah, Recess is coming.
Dude, love that.
Recess would be so good.
That's so good.
Man,
yeah.
Clifford would be incredible.
I want to watch that.
A Big Red Lab.
Just running a... Oh, man, I'd watch that so fast.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I never saw a single episode of Clifford the Big Red Dog, but
it's a big red dog.
Why are we not funding this?
Exactly. You got to run around on the back of your big red dog. Fun.
I mean, I guess they're all aging out in Hollywood now, or they made their millions and they're relaxing. Like, they've done the Transformers. All that's left for my generation is Mask, which is the, you put on a helmet and your car turns into something cool.
I love Mask. Yeah.
So F. Gary Gray is doing that.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, this is news for me.
Yeah, so it's the Mobile Armored Strike Command with a K.
Oh, yeah.
So they had a great theme tune, cool toys. TV show was mostly garbage just to sell toys.
TV show was mostly a long ad. Man, now I want those
toys.
There
was a guy called Bluegrass, I think, who drove the ship that they all were in before they flew off, and he would play the banjo, and you have to get Matthew McConaughey to do that role.
Come on, Hollywood. Put your back into it.
Have to. But I think to finish up, there's something even older than my generation, which is coming back again, which I don't know if you guys have ever heard of, the Banana Splits.
No.
No.
So they had a, it was a TV show from the 70s that basically had guys in suits running around and then cartoons in between. It was Sid and Marty Krofft who did H.R. Puff and stuff and some other shows. They're giant guys in, you know, big suits, a bit like the Teletubbies. They would run around and do hijinks. They were like the Monkees when it came to band stuff. The movie, on the other hand, is about a show that has the, it's a modern show with the Banana Splits that are robots, and then they actually go insane and start to try and kill the audience.
This looks like Yo Gabba Gabba.
Kind of. Whoa. But they're flipping it completely on its head, where the characters are going to try and kill everyone around them.
Man, kind of want to see this.
When you said Banana Splits, the first thought that crossed my mind was...
Bananas in pajamas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's that dark, gritty reboot where they're both detectives in pajamas?
Because, like, I have a younger sister and her name starts with B as well. So my dad used to call me B1 and B2. Aww. So it'd be quite... Yeah, that was quite fun. We liked that for a bit.
If there is a kids show, a kids cartoon that you were fond of that you'd like to see adapted to a movie today, you can let us know. Send that to us on social media. We are at SkipIntroMY. You can also drop us a note at movies@bfm.my. And actually, you might want to head to our social media pages simply to attempt your luck at winning something. To mark the release of Stranger Things Season 3, Netflix Malaysia has given us two giant upside-downable Lego sets featuring the buyer's house in the real world and the upside down. It includes Lego minifigures of 11, the boys, Sheriff Hopper, and the Demogorgon. Win this 2,200 piece set by following us at SkipIntroMY on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You'll find more details there on how to participate. Once again, that's at SkipIntroMY. You've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.